Hello and welcome to Storytime with Tom and Mike. I'm Tom.
And that makes me Mike.
Mike. I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Is pudding a liquid or a solid?
Well, I think that has to do with the ambient air temperature inside the sealed container. And also the temperature of the air outside of the container. Is it sitting in sunlight? I don't know. Have you consumed it? Because then I believe it goes through a phase where it goes from being
more of a solid
into a lol squid, which is a term from SpongeBob, which means a liquid solid.
Okay. Well, that's what I'm thinking pudding kind of is. Yeah. I almost think that maybe pudding qualifies as like a non-Newtonian fluid.
It's 100% delicious. That's all I know.
Yeah, it is 100% delicious. That's a Newtonian fact.
Yeah. That's right. I just ate a vanilla pudding the other day, and I was like, vanilla's my favorite.
Yeah,
it always has been.
I like butterscotch pudding.
Butterscotch is also really good. Come to think of it, so is tapioca. So is rice pudding when it's done properly.
Yeah, but you have to have
raisins.
You know, you have to have that like freshly made.
I think that the one company, Cozy Shack, I think makes a pretty good rice pudding that comes in like little cups. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very iffy about rice pudding because it's lumpy. So it's like, it better be done right. You know, like, I'm just not keen on
It's like
on
tapioca.
The whole...
Like, tapioca, I think, comes from a plant that's poisonous. Like, can kill you. Yeah, if I'm not mistaken. You know what? I know we're on the wrong podcast for this. Maybe you should look that up quick.
Yeah, maybe we should.
Tom, do you have anything on that?
Is tapioca made from poison?
Is tapioca made from poison?
Raw cassava root naturally contains cyanide. In the U.S., the tapioca you eat contains cyanide, but in trace amounts that shouldn't harm you. Shouldn't.
I've been eating it all this time. It shouldn't harm me. Yeah. One day they'll be like, cause of death, tapioca pudding ingestion.
Yeah, yeah. Massive amounts of cyanide.
Literally tapioca pudding is literally like vanilla pudding with fucking gelatin balls inside of it. Yeah. I don't even know what's the difference between that and vanilla pudding. Like, I need a little bit more texture in my pudding. I think maybe if you could put some cyanide laced gelatin in there, I don't know. Yeah. That'd be great. Like, why don't they just use regular gelatin?
And I'm wondering, like, well, I guess it's a texture thing or a flavor thing or something like that.
It's probably
just before they had like the technology to make a good proper gelatin. They're like, well, if we soak this seed, it becomes gelatinous, and you know, and it has a certain panache to it that we like. And there you go. You've got, I don't know. It's kind of like Orbit's pudding.
Yeah, right. Orbeez. Yeah, or like that. What is that? That fucking bubble tea shit that the tea that has the little weird. What are those balls? Do they dissolve? Can you eat them? I don't know.
I never had it. I don't know. My instinct is to say that they're made of saline, but I know that can't be right.
I really feel like they're supposed to be edible. I don't know.
All right, so we have to research yet again. So, what is bubble tea made of? Milk, water, sugar, tea, and tapioca pearls. So it's tapioca.
Oh my god, it's fucking tapioca again.
Yeah.
All right.
When I was in middle school, there was this kid who was like a skater. And he used to have, you know, how like different cliques would have different sayings and stuff. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, everything that came out of this guy's mouth, he's a good guy, I know him now, but when he was in middle school, everything that came out of his mouth with this sort of sarcastic sort of smirk kind of a look thing. So he'd be like, yeah, you're wearing jeans. You know, like, he would make you feel stupid for wearing a pair of blue jeans. Like, yeah, oh, you're okay. wearing jeans? You know, like that. Like, it was just weird. He was just like he was in that sort of above all this kind of mentality. But he used to have all these weird phrases that like, one of them was, it reeks of tapioca. Which came from the longer form, this reeks of tapioca. Which I don't know where the fuck that came from. Some inside joke, I'm sure. But that's, like, he'd be like, it reeks of tapioca.
That's weird.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, everyone has their little sayings. I had a couple stupid sayings in middle school too. One was dukage.
Yeah.
Like, this guy was like, the Duke of Earl sounds like Duke of Girl. And he was like, Duke of Girl, Girl, Girl. And I was like, yeah, dukage. And that just stuck and became a word for like 2 full years in my middle school.
I feel like dukage would be like taking a shit now.
Well, I think, yeah, I'd probably more, but it was supposed to be a euphemism for sex. Because we were sex-obsessed little goblins in middle school.
Oh, yeah.
You know? More so even than high school.
I think, like, our first real jobs at the grocery store, I used to talk to the one dude, and we used pinochle as a code word for having sex. So we could talk about banging while we were checking customers out. Like, oh, hey, did you get to play any pinochle over the weekend? And like, you had a real good game. Like, it had to have been like really obvious that we were not playing pinochle. Like, nobody ever called us out on it. They said, like, yeah, well, tell me what's like a, you know, like, what's a scoring hand? I don't fucking even have any idea about anything about pinochle as an adult, you know, and been like, putting my dick in a pussy? I don't know.
Oh, gosh. What the hell was I going to say? Something about pinochle. Shit, I lost it. Never mind. It's not important. Let's move on. This week on the podcast, it's Shart Week.
Shart Week. I almost saw a shart today, but turned out it was much less deadly.
Was it, wait, your shart or someone else's
shart? Oh, no, it definitely would have been mine.
Okay. Yeah, if you almost see someone else's shart, that's a level
I need to understand the logistics of that one, yeah.
Yeah, like, you need a sort of prescience of knowledge that is above and beyond most mortals.
I do know that one of my coworkers shit twice today, and one of the other ones at least once, and I was like, why is there so much shitting going on here today?
How do you know? Did they tell you?
Oh, because like literally it was like I gotta go to the bathroom. And when the one dude goes to the bathroom and he's gone for longer than, I don't know, 5 minutes, I'm pretty sure that he took a crap. Mm-hmm. And then later on he was like, he made this face and I was like, oh my God, are you all right, man? Because like he made this like, and I was like, oh my God, are you okay? And he's like, oh, no! my stomach just told me it's time to poo. I gotta go. And I was like, I thought you already shit today. Like, how many times a day do you shit? What are you, a fucking dog? You know, and then my other female coworker will tell me that she's going to pee or take a crap. I don't understand why, but yeah, she did tonight. She was like, yeah, I'm gonna go take a shit. And I was like, I don't need to fucking know that.
I had a guy in basic training. Thank you. I had a guy in basic training who liked to tell us he was going to go take a shit. And he was very, very open about it. He was just like, I'm going to go take a shit.
I got the shit mama told me to tell people so they don't wonder where I'm at.
He was from the deep south. Like, I want to say, like, oh God, Alabama or some shit like that.
Fucking lower Mississippi.
Yeah, somewhere down there in the lost.
Is there such a thing as lower Mississippi? I wonder if anybody refers to it that way.
Northern and southern Mississippi.
I'm from right at the heel of the sock, you know, the sock that makes up the shape of Mississippi.
Yeah, and if you put all them states together, it makes a pizza man.
I'm right at the bunion, you know, like if you had a bunion right about where that would be, that's about the part where I'm from.
Do you know what I'm referring to, though?
No.
If hold on, I want to see if I can find this. There's like map of USA pizza man. Yeah, okay. All right. So it's an elf hidden in the map. And he's got a, it's not, oh my God. Okay, so here it is. Minmal, or Mimmal, the elf hidden in the map in the United States. So, taking up Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, and Louisiana. The image also includes Kentucky and Tennessee, making it appear that Minmal is cooking chicken, with Kentucky serving as the chicken and Tennessee as the pan.
Okay, I'm looking at it right now. See, that's fucking ridiculous.
Mimmal. Yeah, look up Mimmal.
Yeah, I did.
M-I-M-A-L. Well, I'm telling the listeners.
Yeah, it does look like he's... Was Kentucky just made perfectly to be...
A piece of chicken?
You know, a piece of chicken or what? Because it's amazing.
It is. It could also be a fiery blast from his nether regions.
Well, I mean, Tennessee could be like a knife-shaped boner.
Yeah, yeah.
With the chicken sitting on it. I don't know, like, he gets excited about giant chicken legs. I mean, you had a chicken like that size, that'd be a reason to get excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would be something I'd be
It almost
for.
Looks like, what's the name of that guy that runs for president that wears the boot on his head?
Vermin Supreme.
It almost looks like Vermin Supreme. It's Vermin Supreme cooking chicken. That's what it is.
He should use that for his campaign.
Yeah, right. He should be huge in those areas because he looks just like it.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible.
I saw that he held a press conference. I'm sure he's running again. So, you know,
he'll run every year or every presidential election until he dies, for sure.
I feel like he probably might run for other local offices and shit, too. And
I feel like he runs for a lot of public offices. Yeah.
Like, will he ever win? Vermin ever truly be supreme?
I don't know. I feel that it would be probably an upsetting turn of events for a lot of people if he did. Because it would just signal the true end of democracy as we understand.
Our county commissioner is wearing a fucking boot on his head and talking all kinds of crazy shit. Like, and he brings in the rent is too damn high guy or something like that. Yeah. They like form this, you know, insanity that occurs at every single meeting, you know.
Yeah.
It's giving me a headache thinking about it, actually.
I was listening to a podcast called The Dollop today, and they were doing a thing on Steven Seagal. And, like...
Steven Seagal is the best at everything Steven Seagal has ever seen.
He's, like, the biggest pathological liar.
Oh, my God, yeah.
It's unbelievable how bad he is. And what the hell was something about what you were saying that reminded me of that. I can't remember what the hell it was, but
wearing a boot on his head.
Ran for office. That's right. He ran for senatorial office.
Really?
Was going to, and then he ended up realizing that the other person, he was going to be a Republican with an ecological friendly bent, I guess. And then someone else who was also on the ticket, I guess, had a lot more to put forward into. They put like $10 million forward, and he can only afford to put $2 million forward. So he's like, well, I'm not putting any more forward. So I'm not going to bother running against this guy because I won't win. I'm just going to lose my shirt. And God knows you don't want to see Steven Seagal without a shirt.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Maybe at one point, maybe back in the 90s when he made like Under Siege or something like that, he might have not had as large of a persona as he does now. I am simply amazed at the amount of movies that man has made, though.
Well, yeah, but...
It's astounding.
It is astounding, but I mean, how many of them are good?
I don't know. My dad's always been a big fan of him and kind of almost gets a little angry with me when I bust his chops when I'm talking about Steven Seagal. And I'm like, yeah, he's like the greatest blues guitarist ever. He's got like – and he's a terrible guitarist, by the way. But he's got like a crazy, amazing collection of guitars and stuff, which, I mean, anybody that has the amount of money that he probably has from all of this nonsense that he has partaken in and shit, you know, like, could afford guitars like that, but he plays with a band, and I swear everybody's too afraid to tell him that he sucks.
Yeah.
Like, he's on stage with these guys, and they're like, oh god, he's soloing again. Oh, this is terrible. Can he ever just stop playing the basic first position of the pentatonic scale and move on to something else? Like, I want to tell him he's bad, but I can't.
Well, I have a theory. Like, you know, like, usually when an actor will take any role that is given to them, that tells you they have no discernment power and they're just making money, you know? And or they're just making money. Simple as that. And sometimes we, like, judge harshly. I have a theory about Bruce Willis. Because, you know, probably Bruce Willis is now nonverbal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's incapable of speech. He's incapable of communicating. He doesn't have the ability to read anymore, apparently. So he's sacrificed a lot. And, as you know, he stepped down from acting. And the last, like, maybe 2 or 4 years, he was making so many shit movies. And at the time, I was like, man, what the hell? He sold out. And then I realized, no. He was cashing in for the future. He knew that he wasn't good. He had to know. Like, that was coming up. He's like, yeah, you're going to, you're suffering a degenerative disease. Him and his doctors probably knew it. And, like, it's like, just, he decided, I'm cashing in. Like, I don't care how Hollywood remembers me. I don't care how the public remembers me. I want to have a nice, big, the biggest amount of money I can get, leave my family as possible. So when I can't work, we're not all suffering because I might have huge medical bills and shit. So, I mean, you know, it's kind of admirable in a way. Like, he kind of took a shit on his own career. Because we're talking about Bruce Willis. This guy made so many great fucking movies.
I couldn't stand him back in the day.
Really?
I don't know what it was. I refused. Like, I didn't like him. I don't know what it was. I really can't even tell you. But I used to always be like, maybe it was just me partially because my dad was always liked him, and I was just being, you know, like, I got to be contrary to something. So I'm going to pick the most ridiculous thing and be like, ah, I can't fucking stand that guy, you know. But there was a long time that I was just like, I don't even want to hear about him.
I know my dad was a big proponent of Charles Bronson, and I was like, that guy's weird looking. I didn't like him.
He was from Pennsylvania. I don't know if you knew that or not.
No,
yeah, he was. Yeah,
that. Charles Bronson,
like, Slovakian family and heritage from Pennsylvania. Yeah, huh. He was like the ultimate tough guy, though. Like, that's a guy that I look at and go, yeah, that motherfucker was tough.
Yeah,
like the way he grew up and everything. Like Chuck Norris, I think Chuck Norris has become such a character that's unbelievable through people that I feel like he definitely bought into that shit.
He's
A degree.
He's batshit. All those martial arts guys seem to be batshit. They're either really funny or they're super self-serious, and it's like one or the other. Like, can you imagine what Bruce Lee would be like today?
I don't know. I like to think that he would probably be fucking hilarious and amazing.
That's what I would think, too.
He'd also be old as shit.
He'd be old as shit, but he'd be fucking... Yeah, he'd be funny, because he was funny.
Yeah.
But and then, you know, there's Jackie Chan, but then you've got, like, Steven Seagal, and, like...
Martial arts is always a questionable thing when I talk about Steven Seagal, because I think his definition of martial arts and the rest of the world's are slightly askew from each other. When like, if you've ever seen him do, like, a competition and stuff, he's basically just, like, punching people out and shit. He's not actually, like, doing anything special. He's, like, punched a guy, and the guy falls over. And he also, he had marks that would go and do that shit for him. Like, when he's, like, you know, 250, 300 pounds and out of breath and everything, he ain't fucking kicking anybody's ass. I don't believe it.
I think he's probably, you're right, he's probably just, like, a lot of people are throwing the fight for him because it's Steven Seagal.
Because, like, the simplicity was, and it was, like, simple moves. Like, that was the thing that always got me. Like, this is shit that I've seen, you know, kids doing in martial arts videos and stuff. And he's doing these things and, like, blocking. And, like, he's blocking the guys, and they're just, like, flying away from him like they were on cables or something. Or they got shot by a big gun in a movie. It's actually pretty comical.
I can't remember. I think it might have been the movie Under Siege, but there's one scene that really sticks out for me And that's where he's fighting some guy with a knife. The guy has a knife. And he's doing all this fancy shit with his hands where he's smacking it down on the blade of the knife so he's catching it while it's being swung at him and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I thought, how cool is that that he can do that? And I'm like, well, that's not a real knife. But, like, I just... You got to listen to this these episodes of The Dollop. Yeah. You got to listen to The Dollop. It's so fucking funny. I mean, there's so many good stories. Like, there was a story about how he was, like, training with some Navy SEALs or some guys who were Navy SEALs. And they were doing some kind of night exercise. And he started freaking out and panicking and screaming and shit. Another time, someone choked him out and he shit his pants.
I've heard that one before. whoever I'm sure that Steven Seagal has the world's greatest PR people in Steven Seagal, but like why would you let that story get out? I'm a real tough guy, but yeah, I got choked out and shit my pants. Like, oh, I don't know, I got a reason for this.
I got that. A
fucking valid reason why I shit my pants. I went too hard that day in the gym. I took a little too much, powder, and it made my bowels loose.
Yeah, no, it's just the Chinese or Japanese secret that it's something he learned while he was in Japan. It's a defense mechanism. This is the Congress of the Squid.
It's a squid technique. I just dropped a load of ink. Everybody was surprised, and then I took them out.
Yeah, the Congress of the Squid would be some funky Kama Sutra Part 2.
Oh, that's funny.
Everybody do the cephalopod.
And the fact that he always has to talk like he's a fucking extra from The Godfather or something like that kills me. Or
apparently,
you know.
The reason for that is because his actual speaking voice is too squeaky and high.
Hey guys, my name's Steven Seagal. Yeah. I'm gonna kick your ass.
Hey everybody, I'm Steven Seagal. Hey Steven, could you? Oh, and his real name is actually Seagal. It's pronounced Seagull, but he changed it sometime during the 80s or something.
Seagull. That explains the voice. He's like, chasing people around trying to eat their French fries and pizza and shit.
Oh my God. What a loser.
I love the rip on Steven. I mean, but there is no denying, even if he is a loser, motherfucker's cashed in.
Oh sure,
he's cashed in, and he's made his mark.
Yeah, so. He's living his best life.
Yeah,
as a pathological liar who's made it to the top. But he'll always, in my heart, like he'll always be that one kid you know whose dad worked at Nintendo. You know, the kid who had a crossbow, but he was got it taken away because he was too dangerous with it, so he's not allowed to have it until his 21st birthday. You know, like that kind of kid.
Yeah. Accidentally shot the neighbor's cat or something.
Yeah.
Jerk.
Had like, I don't know, just that mentality of like, oh yeah, I used to have all these Nintendo games, but they got put in storage and then my mom couldn't pay the bill. You know what I mean? Like some sad story, which might actually have some truth to it in some cases. But it was always, I have cool stuff, but I can't show it to you.
Yeah. That's why I never lied about any of that shit when we were growing up, because it doesn't worth it. I'd rather get made fun of for being poor and not having stuff than I would for lying and then having everybody be,
let me tell you something.
You're
having
the bigger loser.
Having gone to Hershey, like one year I did finally get a pair of like name brand shoes. And I wore them to school. I was super proud. And people were like, oh, you finally got a pair of cool shoes. Did your parents have to take out a second mortgage for that? And it was like, they found a way to make fun of you no matter what. So it didn't matter. After that, I was like, oh, I don't give a fuck anymore. Like, I thought I'd be more accepted because I had these nice shoes, but instead they just found another way to make me feel worthless.
That's why I always wore boots, if you remember correctly, because ain't nobody making fun of boots because they don't fucking know what to say. None of those kids that have the sneakers know what boots are. You know, unless they're Timberlands or something like that, they wouldn't have any fucking idea like what a good boot was or anything, you know. Because it's funny, you made me think, my first pair of name brand sneakers, because I used to wear like the Kmart Special, because we didn't have any Walmarts around at that time.
Yeah,
this area, the Kmart Special, like Bobos, the fake Converse.
Yeah,
was like one of the ones that I would wear when, because I understandably, like as a kid, you don't get it. When you're an adult, you understand, especially when you have kids, that your kids ain't going to wear them shits long enough to justify. Like when you think about it, what back then Nikes might have cost, like, you know, $90, $100. They're not like they are now. And, you know, why would my parents spend that money on shoes if they could get me, you know, a fucking pair of $10 Bobos and I'd wear holes in them and they could do something else with that money? I get it now. Yeah. I didn't then. My first pair of shoes, though, my first name brand was a pair of LA Gears.
Okay.
And I was so excited. I like got the little key chain that they used to give you with the shoes. It was like a little license plate that said LA Gear California on it and shit.
Uh-huh. I remember
there was
that.
This one weird ass kid that lived up the road. I swear to you, this kid, I don't know if I think I told you about this before. Every time I would get something, he would have the same fucking thing like a week later.
Oh, he was stalking you.
I don't consider myself to be a trendsetter at any rate, but yeah, he used, like, I got my LA Gears. He had a pair of LA Gears. It's like, I got this, he got this. I got that, he got that. And to the point that when I had, you remember my first car, my blue Camaro? He had one that almost exactly the same as that. I think it was red or black or something, but it was the same, like, body style. It was so weird. I didn't even know the kid. That's the weird part about it. Like, I don't know if he was actually copying me or if it was just the strangest group of coincidences ever.
This guy, his name is like Kent Mickley. and he's always like, there's this guy, man. I swear to God, it's like he's telling the same story. He reads my mind. Like, I'm in the market for a car. I have a lock-in on a Camaro. What's he driving around? Fucking Camaro. Fucking get this new shirt. Dude, he's already got one.
It was like a shirt, shoes, like a jacket. And like, I swear there was a couple other things, but the car and the shoes were the two that I remember the most vividly. Like, there was a series of things. Because at one point I was just like, I don't know what's going on here. This is weird.
Wow.
You know, like, this was before the days of, you know, hidden cameras and stuff. He's there peeking in my bedroom window or something, see what I got rolling in there.
Yeah, that would be a little much, I think. So what did he look like?
I honestly, at this point, I don't really remember. I think he was probably a little bit taller than me. I remember him having, like, just an average haircut. And
so not like
kind of dorky.
Not like long hair or a mullet anything we would have rocked.
No, surprisingly. He didn't copy like the best part of me.
Yeah, yeah.
My huge
glorious,
cock. You know.
Glorious mullet that you had.
Yes, that,
how
that
do
mullet
you know
that
about
I had.
His cock?
Well, I mean, you know, I said he was copying me on
you
things.
You can't
and
even remember what he looks like, but you remember his. Well, I guess that would stick out, right? In
well,
your
I feel
no pun intended.
Literally, boom. I feel like if some dude showed me their wang, I might not remember what they looked like, but I'd probably remember that. Because I'd be like, I can't believe this dude showed me his dick.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucking crazy. Have you ever had somebody just randomly show you their dick?
Yeah, actually.
I've never had that happen.
Yeah. I was think I was like either, and don't get this wrong, because it was not like another adult. It was not an adult. So don't feel bad when I say that I was probably like in elementary school. But this kid came over to my house, Joey, and we were playing computer games, and he said something, and I was like, yeah? And he goes, yeah, like my dick. And he pulls his dick out and just flops it out on his hand. And then he stuffs it back in his jams, because that's what you wore back then, jams.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and I just was like, what the fuck?
He had enough there that he was able to flop it out, though?
Dude, yeah.
You remember what it looked like.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah. It was disturbing because I wasn't sure if it was a half stock or what, which kind of, you know.
It was either you or the game's computer, whatever, were exciting him.
Something was exciting him. All I know is that he pulled his dick out.
Yeah,
and I don't know why.
Because I can safely say that through all these years of our friendship, I have never seen your penis.
I take it as a point of pride that none of my friends have.
And I've never showed you mine. So, like, it's not something that we ever needed to do. I don't think there's a friendship bridge you need to cross one day where you're like, all right, two things. I need to see your asshole, and I need to see your dick.
I need to see my butthole, my dick, my butthole, my dick, my dick, my butt.
It never had anybody do that. Now, I have... I have, unfortunately, I mean, I told the story of the elephant man on the turnpike with the gigantic dick, you know, the biggest dick I've ever seen in real life in front of me.
Yeah.
You know, that wasn't my choice. I couldn't help it. It was everywhere.
Now, I didn't see this guy's penis, but I saw it through clothing. There was a guy in Atlanta that everyone knew, or like, he was like a local kind of legend, you know what I mean? But he had this crazy braid of matted beaver tail like hair in the back of his head.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one big mass like a beaver tail. It was horrific. And he had the like these tight white like pants and the biggest schlong I've ever seen just hanging down. And everyone said he had Thorazine dick because apparently Thorazine has the effect of making your trunk big. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what they called it. Thorazine.
All right. Dick. I'm sorry. I got to do this to you again.
Yeah, I got to look it up.
This one you brought up. Thorazine dick.
Does Thorazine make your penis? All right. Let's see here.
First off, what is Thorazine?
Thorazine is for use in schizophrenic and psychotic issues.
I know Slayer has used it in their lyrics.
The hard facts on drug-induced priapism. Okay, so it makes...
Well, priapism is just a boner that won't go away.
I'm not seeing any indication that it actually is, but I'm
I really feel like if Thorazine made your cock bigger, everybody would be trying to use Thorazine.
Yeah, right?
You know what I mean?
Thorazine dick. All I'm getting is wow, it's amazing how smart Google has gotten. I put in Thorazine dick and it's all these like, do you need help with Thorazine overuse or
Thorazine addiction?
Yeah, like early onset priapism under chlorpromazine. Wow. Well, not what I was expecting. Maybe he just had damage to his penis where it was like always big, you know, like it never shrank back down.
Maybe he just had a really big wang.
Maybe.
I mean, at a certain point, your body can't retract all that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and then you get lightheaded.
Like, it's cold outside, and his dick's just fucking hanging out. And he's like, damn it, I wish I had a smaller dick.
Starts using it to shovel snow.
He's like, let's see how deep this snow is. And just, like, squats down and puts his pecker into the snow. He's like, it won't go away. Don't worry about it.
Steam comes up.
He gets caught in an avalanche, and that's how they find him, his dick sticking out of the snow.
Still hard.
Thank God for Thorazine, dick.
Hell yeah, man. But he didn't die because he didn't die. He was just frozen, but his hive hairstyle kept all the warm.
Like, you talking about that like beaver tail of hair just makes me think of like dirty, filthy, matted hair, like in the shape of a beaver tail.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty much exactly what it was.
Ew.
It was foul.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine like laying back on your head. Like laying like on your back.
It's like his own maiden or a hand like built in pillow. He just laid back on that waffle of hair.
Yeah, and it crunches as all the insects climb out.
I don't know, man. There's, like, a lot of gross things, but gross, greasy, fucking, like, matted hair for some reason just touches a spot that makes me...
Yeah. Well, you have long hair, and you know what is required to maintain it, right?
That's like people with dreadlocks. Ugh, so nasty. I mean, I get it.
Well, if they're clean.
But I don't get it.
If they're clean, I mean, sometimes, I mean, you have to keep in mind that for some, a dreadlock is also like a cultural thing.
Yeah, I get, yeah. I'm talking more.
Appropriators.
More appropriated people using dreadlocks. Yeah. That's the stuff that grosses me out. Well, I should have specified that to start with.
Yeah. They usually don't do it right. They just let it turn to shit on top of
it's
their
like
head.
A nasty, like, fucking tangle of hair that just looks like it would, first off, probably hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, be terribly uncomfortable to lay on. And thirdly, smell really bad. Oh, I put powder in it. I don't care.
You can have dreads and shower, but I think a lot of people are under the impression that you can't or shouldn't, and so they don't.
Yeah, and then, I mean, if you're gonna have them, learn how to take care of them.
There's also a cross section of people who have dreads who are also like hippies and are crusty and think the showering and soap and stuff is for, you know, for a commercial
it's what the man wants you to do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, I bosh my entire body in vinegar. You know? I smell
Did you
like...
know that patchouli is actually really effective for styling body hair?
Yeah.
Ew.
When I get a headache, I just chew on willow bark because I don't want to take an aspirin.
I mean, I guess there's something to be said about holistics, but at the same time.
Yeah, well, how practical is it? Mom, I have a headache. Hold on. Let me get this bag of willow root that I have here. Whatever. Yeah. Willow bark. Now, I'll make a tea out of it. And by then, you know, who knows?
I'm going to make you some stone soup. Yeah. You just hold on right there. This will fill you right up.
Now, first, I'm going to need it. I love stone soup. That book. That was a great book.
I'm thinking of actual stone soup. You get all kinds of nutrients from the minerals in the rocks.
Well, have you ever heard the story of stone soup?
No.
So, all right, it's basically a trickster story. It's about this guy who comes into town and he has a stone and a cauldron. And he says, and someone, you know, he stops in and he asks for something. He says, well, I want to make my stone soup, but in order to need it, I'm going to need, you know, some boiling water, and he's like, I need to use the cauldron in your stone. And so he sets up the cauldron and he puts the stone in there. And he says, well, I need to boil some water. And then he says, well, I need some carrots, and then I need some tomatoes, I need some onions, I need all these different things. And he ends up having the whole town basically pitch in for this stone soup. And meanwhile, he feeds himself quite well as all the townspeople who want some of the stone soup. And then he takes his stone and leaves in his cauldron and basically got a free meal out of, and most of the footwork was done.
But he did bring the community together.
Yeah. If I'm remembering it correctly. Yeah. It was a neat little story, and I loved it because of the illustrations in the book. Like, that was something I used to love as a kid. It was a good illustration, and I find it a lot of this is going to sound like duh books, but I mean, I feel that they're sorely lacking illustrations in a lot of books.
I tell you, we grew up in a time when illustrations were fucking crazy and cool and shit too, like even in like school books and stuff from the 70s, 80s and the early part of the 90s, or you might, well, the early part of the 90s, they were probably stopping a lot of that, but the 80s stuff, like, I used to have a math textbook, I think was from like the late 70s, early 80s, that when I was a kid, I would look at it periodically. It had some crazy, neat drawings in it.
Mm-hmm. I loved The Busy World of Richard Scarry. I loved all the little cutaways and like how stuff worked and how like regions and farmlands and stuff were laid out. It was just
that,
like,
busy world.
It was a very busy world. And I think that, like, honestly, my sort of awareness of the world at large can be largely owed to looking at those books for hours and just saying, like, oh, this is how all these things work together. You know, and it makes me wonder, because, you know, every now and then you hear about these teachers who are, like, right now, I don't want to get too serious, but like, I guess a lot of teachers now are saying that students are like woefully behind the national model, and the national model isn't that good to begin with. And like, I mean, these kids are barely capable of reading and writing at their age level. They have difficulty with basic maths, you know, all these different things.
I think with a lot of that stuff, especially the math stuff, that Common Core shit is what really blows it away, because it makes no sense to me. I'm never going to be like, oh, if I want to find out what 26 plus 32 is, I need to take and make 26 into 3 tens, and then 32 needs to become 4 tens, and then I subtract, and it's so fucking weird.
Yeah. Yeah, it's we talked about that a little bit before, and it does sound really strange, but I guess like this, I don't know if it's just certain classrooms or what, but apparently students are not doing as well as they should, and the numbers are alarmingly high. And it just, to me, is just another example of this country literally turning into idiocracy before our eyes.
It's
happening a lot faster than we expected.
Not to continue I'm not continuing the Common Core thing, but it does make sense. We grew up with books and people telling us things and everything because the system didn't change.
Mm-hmm.
And now these kids don't have that to lean back on.
Yeah.
They didn't have books that showed them how to do some of the stuff that they're showing them now. You know what I mean? So they didn't really get a head start. Right. And I think that could definitely account for some of it.
It could, it could. I guess I'm just at that age now where I'm alarmed a lot more often than I used to be by things that probably wouldn't have alarmed me when I was in my 20s or my teens. I would have been excited by them. And now I'm like, oh boy, wow, what does that lend itself to? Is that how long until that becomes a slippery slope or whatever? Like some of the AI stuff that's available now is pretty alarming.
It's terrifying.
Yeah. It's like, I don't know. I've watched too many horror movies and sci-fi movies where this ended very badly for us. You know, machines are harder to kill.
Well, I mean, the fact that misinformation can be spread so easily.
Oh, well, yeah.
Look so real and legitimate that that's the thing that scares me the most. You know, like, is that people believe that kind of stuff so easily. Like oh, yeah, well, it's got to be true because I saw that so-and-so said it. And you're like, that goes against everything they've ever said. Why would you believe that?
But, you know, if I think about this a little bit, it's not even necessary to have that AI. All that does is fool the next tier up, right? Because the rest of us are just way more questioning of everything now, right? Mm-hmm. But I mean, the tier below that, you know, on that spectrum of dumb are the ones that look at memes.
On that spectrum of dumb.
Like a picture of a celebrity with a quote on it, and you know, and or like some saying, and it's like, oh yeah, well, Keanu Reeves' picture is there. It's not even in quotes, it's just some saying. But yeah. Keanu Reeves' picture is there, and they say, oh, well, he's a good guy, so this is a good saying. You know, and then people just requote it. Or like people who are like, you know, well, you know, it says here that 10,000 squid every year create Picassos. It must be true because it says so on this meme here. Whatever it is, people just accept it because they read it on a picture. They don't even need, artificial intelligence driven voice capture and facial reconstruction and deep faking. They just need a picture with some words on it, and they're like, oh, they said that. I can't believe they said that.
I have no critical thinking skills.
Yep. I am like a goldfish. As soon as I get to the other end of the tank, I've forgotten it was a tank already. I am perpetually
surprised.
What's
all this behind me?
Yeah, I am perpetually
What's all this behind me?
surprised by my environment because I have no idea what the hell is going on ever.
One of those poor people that has that kind of a syndrome where they can't remember things for longer than 30 seconds or something. Yeah. Could you imagine?
Like Memento. Yeah. The movie Memento.
It's a good movie.
Have I told you about my condition? Oh, speaking of someone who would do an inanely stupid thing, how about those idiots from Canada who moved to Russia to get away from them queer-loving Canadian,
and
you know, whatever. Like, he's like, well, I don't love the, I hate how LGBTQIA is like a cult or all this whatever, and he's like, so we're moving to Russia,
and,
I'm like,
and all these people are being recognized and it's normalized in our society. First off, I didn't realize that Canada, I mean, I naively, it seems strange to me that somebody in Canada is a fucking giant douche canoe bigot, but they're everywhere. Let's not study anything about Russia. Let's just go there, not realizing that it's a fucking communist, not communist. There is a president, but basically still not, you know, a democracy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
and you don't have any freedoms of like what you have in Canada or what you would have in the United States.
Well, and apparently, like, they had a fair amount of money to get them over there. Much of it was raised through their YouTube channel.
Yeah,
right. So a bunch of assholes were like, "Oh yeah, I want to help you." maybe they were trying to get rid of them.
Probably some people that were like, yeah, if we just give them some money, they'll fucking go away.
Right.
Let's do it. Then you get over to Russia and you find out that you need to be able to account for where this money came from.
Right. And without documentation, their assets get freezed. Yeah. Which means that they're in a foreign country that they don't even speak the language yet. Like, that's how much planning they did. They didn't even bother to learn the language first. Yeah,
it felt to me like they were like, Monday, they decided that they were going to move to Russia.
Yeah.
The following Monday, they seemed to have enough money. They decided to sell the farm the previous Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so they were, you know, they were ready to go. Didn't take some time to get a Rosetta Stone or... Rosetta Stone. Thinking about pasta, you know?
Rosella Stone.
Get themselves a little Rubella. Rosetta Stone and decide to fucking learn, like, even basic language for the area that you're in, the dialect for the area that you're in, or anything. Like, don't study the laws. Like, how did they find a fucking place to live and everything? That's what I don't understand.
I said, nothing about what they were thinking. Like, I don't understand how you can naturalize to another country that quickly. Like, that you can actually actively get in a plane a year later and move.
Like, yeah, I don't.
Like, I know that the immigration to the United States is excessively difficult, maybe to the point of being, like, criminally difficult. But I didn't know that you could just, on a whim, move to Russia. You know, but apparently, maybe they want Americans and Canadians right now. I mean, I don't know. When you look at that Tucker Carlson interview, which is the biggest, saddest thing I've ever seen.
Although the funniest part of it was that Putin was literally making fun of him after he did which I found satisfying.
I did too, because he still had that same ass-kissing, open-mouth look on his face the whole time. But, I mean, you know, it's like when you look at that, if you can't see that for what it actually is, for what that is like pro-Russian rock. Propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't see that, if you don't see Tucker Carlson for the obvious plant that he is, what the fuck are you doing voting? Seriously, there should be a litmus test or something. I realize we live in a democracy and that freedom is what it is, but I didn't fucking serve my country so dipshits like this can get on the air, misinform people vastly, be given airtime, and then turn this country into a shithole. Even more than it's already becoming. It's very distressing, you know.
It's even, and the other thing is, too, is that the amount of free press that they get because, oh, look what this idiot said, and then that'll get covered, and you know, it's a never-ending cycle of stupidity.
Yeah.
Even from, you know, quote-unquote reputable news sources.
I don't believe in them anymore. We'll still cover
the shit and give them airtime. It's unfortunate.
I don't even really buy into reputable news sources
anymore. That's why I said quote-unquote. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, there are a couple of networks that if I truly desperately need to watch the news, which is not very often, if at all, really, to be quite frank, that I would turn to them before I went anywhere else.
Yeah.
But in the reality, yeah, it just doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you really have to just go to indie news sources and hope for the best.
Yeah, and read a lot.
Read a lot and hope that the sources you're looking at aren't too biased. I mean, there's a difference between a lean and a bias.
Yeah, you can pretty much tell.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Although I will say I'm really, really enjoying Jon Stewart's return to The Daily Show.
Well, of course.
I would vote for that man. If he were to run for president, I would vote for that man in a heartbeat. But unfortunately, the CIA would kill him if he did.
Yeah.
Because he'd be too fucking good for this country.
This is the funny thing about Jon Stewart is that we've all been saying since, 2000... When did he start The Daily Show?
Oh, God.
Like, anyway, from back when he started The Daily Show, we were all saying, even back then, before a lot of this insanity was really ramped up to the point that it is now, that how sad is it that we're getting better news from Comedy Central than we are from, you know, these giants that have existed in news for, you know, ever.
I think that's how they managed to be so hard-hitting and so you know, unironically hard-hitting, right? Like, it's because they are not to be taken seriously. And so they're like, oh, well, it's entertainment, so no one takes it too hard when they absolutely slam both Joe Biden and Donald Trump in a single speech, which needed to be said, frankly.
Yeah.
you know, I mean, you know me, I'm a left leaning guy, and I voted for Biden, and if I have to, I'll vote for him again just to keep that other maniac out of office. But Joe is slipping. He's not altogether there anymore.
Well, I don't think any man or woman over the age of, I don't know, could we agree on, like, maybe, I don't know, 68, 70 should be in fucking any position to decide things for everybody anymore.
Right. Thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, there should be an age limit. Like, there's a minimum age limit, right? And that makes sense. I think that's reasoned. But they never expected people, like, they never, back when they founded it, they never thought, well, there'll be some greedy old 80-year-old fuck who wants to do this again.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll have guys that'll sit in a position until they're, you know, fucking wearing diapers, completely incoherent, or even in some cases, not necessarily in the higher ranks of politics, but in some of the lower ranks, dead and still fucking win an election.
You know how
You know, I feel like if you die, your name should be taken off the ballot.
Like that's probably a wise
thing. You know,
you just win by a landslide because you're a fucking ghost. Ooh, I'm going to bring lower taxes.
I can truly get things done now that I've slipped my earthly shackles.
It's working around the clock for you because I don't need to eat or sleep.
Working around the clock, and I'll haunt all of your enemies' dreams and get things done. Yeah, I don't know.
Wow, we got a little heavy there.
Yeah,
but we managed to spiral back out. and I know that we're getting a little low on time here, but I would like to end the show on a light note. This is
we didn't do our songs yet, brother.
Oh man, we gotta do our songs. Okay. Yeah.
I promised a dirty song this episode. And
boy, deliver, boy!
I fucking delivered. All right, we are. I mean, obviously, we can't really play this.
No,
So I'm just gonna tell you that song. I came about it.
Before you do that, let me just remind everyone that if you go to our YouTube channel and look at the main page, if you scroll down, there's a playlist that is songs that we have curated from these episodes. So just if you want to check it out, I'll have a link up there, or rather I'll have a video up in there. It's not a video, obviously. This was done in like what, 1910, you know, this recording, something
like
that.
I think it was like the 30s.
Okay.
Or the 40s possibly. But
it's a good
allegedly recording. This was like studio outtakes that were not supposed to ever be released, but it sure feels like a whole song to me. But how I came about this is my second oldest child, who is an adult now. Hard to fucking believe.
Yeah.
And my youngest will be an adult this coming November, which is crazy. I feel like I'm fucking aging so rapidly right now. But my second oldest was in school, and they were doing something with American history and studies and so forth. And they were talking about the blues. And for some reason, this teacher felt it necessary to tell the whole class about this and said, oh, hey, I can't play this person's music for you, but you can go home and listen to it. It is literally the dirtiest stuff I've ever heard. And this is like over top of modern rap and everything else. This is just plain fucking dirty.
Well, why don't you give the name of the
but
artist?
Yeah, it's great. It's great to listen to nonetheless if you need a laugh. It's Lucille Bogan, and the song is called Shave 'Em Dry. There's a lot of interesting turn of phrase in Miss Bogan's music, including her talking about having a cock. And I'm assuming that cock must have been an old-time term for vagina. I don't know. Maybe she had a giant clitoris. I have no idea. But it's pretty dirty. Like if you listen to Shave 'Em Dry, you gotta fucking listen to more than that. It's a must.
Absolutely.
This is the dirtiest thing I could give you.
Well, it was pretty good. Did you find that on the spot when reminded of that, or did you, or is this something that you had tucked away up your sleeve for a while?
I had been thinking about it. When I said, oh, I got something dirty next time, this is exactly what I had in mind. And then I gave you something else, and you're like, oh, remember you said you were going to give him something dirty. I was like, oh, shit. That's right. Because I think the day that we recorded that episode, I had been the day that he had been telling me about this. Mm-hmm. So it was like fresh in my mind immediately. No, like you listen to old blues men, they talk about being a backdoor man or this or that. They like hide it in, you know, a clever turn of phrase and stuff. She goes right for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun. Sounds like a fun person to be around.
Yeah,
I bet. So my song of the week is Rubber Band Man by The Spinners.
And classic this is
just,
track.
Just a classic Motown track.
Feel good.
Yeah, very feel good. Very, you know, just innocent and light and carefree. And it's a bopper. You know, you want to dance to it. What I love about it, it's also very soulful. What I love about it is that it's one of those songs that, like, back in the day, I had a record player. My mom gifted me all these like 45s. And this was one of them that I played pretty much nonstop.
I imagine a little Tommy fucking playing Rubber Band Man over and over and over. And your parents like sitting in the other room going, I swear to God, as soon as he falls asleep, I'm going to go get that fucking record and throw it out.
Yeah, I think for next episode, I'll probably share the other song that my mom shared with me as a young child that I became completely obsessed with.
Was it a Beach Boys song?
It was not. Mm. It was not. I'll give you one hint. It's about a letter. But I won't say any more than that. I won't say any more than that because that was a pretty big hint, actually.
To Start With Love?
No. No.
Ooh.
No, it's not. I'll give you one more. You can get one more guess. And if not, then we move on till next week.
It was about a letter. Are we talking
a song?
Letter of the alphabet or a written
letter? A written letter.
Oh, boy. I can't think of it right. Like, there's a few that are, you know, like you get a thought and it's right there, but you can't quite grasp it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So,
I'll let it be a surprise for next week.
It's going to have to be.
Yeah. All right. So before we cut loose here, I wanted to share a story of this week that really made me smile. I'd woken up really early for me in the morning and I was just sort of half dazed, and my niece is getting ready to go to school, and it's raining, pouring. And she says, you know, should I use this umbrella? And I'm like, why wouldn't you use the umbrella? It's like, what's thunder outside? I'm like, oh, let me take a look at it. And it's pouring. And this is like, you know, this thing's made out of plastic. So I'm like, I think you'll be okay to get to the bus stop. Just don't linger. And she goes, okay. And I noticed that she's got these origami claws on her fingers that she like makes paper craft stuff. Like I bought her a big thing of origami paper that she wants to make bigger things with, but she makes all the time, she's making little birds and hats and shit. And she made these claws and she has them on her fingers and she's got the umbrella wide open in the house. And then she's opening the door and she's trying to fuddle around with these claws. And the cat, one of the cats gets out on the front porch and she's like, mom, get snowy. The cat's out. She's like, why don't you close the door? She's like, I can't, my hands are full of claws.
That's adorable.
It was so funny to me. I was just like, at the time, I know, you know, it was a little stressful because of the cat, but the cat doesn't go far, especially on a heavy raining day. He's like, derp. He just wants to go outside because we made him. Well, we got like one of those like harnesses that you put around a cat and let him walk outside sometimes, and he loves it. But now he just won't shut the fuck up anywhere near a door. So it's like first thing in the morning, meow, following you around.
Well, I hope it's as musical as that was.
It is, dude. He's got this little pack-a-day smoky voice. But he's yelling at you. Yeah.
You made me think of a cute story, too, with my dog.
Yeah?
I was taking her out. The grass going down the little bit of an incline to where her big old yard is.
Yeah.
It was a little bit wet, and I slipped and fell. Landed on my side, and I'm laying there like taking account quickly, like make sure, you know, my elbow is still there, I didn't break something or hurt myself. And she ran over to me, and instead of licking me or checking on me, she flopped herself down on top of me like, oh look, I just fell too, and was like rolling around on me, kicking her legs and licking my face. I said, what the hell's the matter with you?
Dogs are so funny, man.
That was hilarious. Yeah, it was hilarious. And adorable too. I was like, oh, you silly dog. She's like, I fell too, Dad. Look, you're not the only one covered in mud. Yes, because I did have mud all up my side too. So it was cute.
Yeah.
Not as cute as I got a handful of claws, but close.
Yeah.
Out of the mouths of children.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that cracked me up. I just wasn't expecting to hear those words. Like, I just burst out laughing.
It's imagine a little Wolverine telling his mother that.
Yeah, and the thing is like, I kind of want claws like that because they are pretty cool looking. Like, they look like something out of, like, a video game. Like, they're all sharp looking and, like, kind of angular, like something out of, like you'd see in, like, a Skyrim game or something.
There you go.
Yeah, pretty neat. Oof. Pretty neat. I kind of want to like fill one with plaster of Paris and then like put like latex like over top and like make like plastic or like paint it so it looks like metal.
There you go.
Actually have like Halloween costume elements that you can make. I've always wanted to learn how to do that.
Hey, no time like the present. Well, you know, once stores open up, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, right now is probably not a good time. It's midnight.
Well, you know, it's kind of late. I'd like to sit here and continue this conversation. But I just looked at the clock, and we are out of time. So that's going to have to be a story for another time.
Thank you for watching Storytime with Tom and Mike. We hope you enjoyed it as much as we enjoyed giving it to you.
Giving it to you like that little bit of cuteness overload we gave you right at the end. Funny, kind of heavy, and then adorable. You're welcome. You're welcome, everybody. Goodbye.